The following is a class on the Srimad Bhagavatam, 4th canto, chapter number 24, text number 77, given by His Grace Sriman Sankarshan Das Adhikari, recorded on October 30th, 2008, in Kaunas, Lithuania.
So, today we're reading Srimad Bhagavatam, 4th canto, chapter 24, text number 77. Om namo bhagavate vasudevaya. Om namo bhagavate vasudevaya. Om namo bhagavate vasudevaya. Vindate purusho mushmad yad yad ichat yasatvaram mad gita gita supritach shayasam mikavalabhat. Translation and purport by His Divine Grace Srila Prabhupada. The Supreme Personality of Godhead is the dearmost objective of all auspicious benedictions. A human being who sings this song, sung by me, can please the Supreme Personality of Godhead. Such a devotee, being fixed in the Lord's devotional service, can acquire whatever he wants from the Supreme Lord. Purport. As stated in Bhagavad Gita 6:22, Yang lagva chaparam labham manyate nadikam tata. If one can attain the favor of the Supreme Personality of Godhead, he has nothing to aspire for, nor does he desire any other gain. When Dhruva Maharaj became perfect by austerity and saw the Supreme Personality of Godhead face to face, he was offered any kind of benediction he wanted. However, Dhruva replied he did not want anything, for he was perfectly satisfied with the benediction of seeing the Lord. Except for the service of the Lord, whatever we want is called illusion, maya. Shri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu said, Jivara Sarupa Hoi Krishnera Nitya Das, CC Majja 2108. Every living entity is an eternal servant of Krishna. Therefore, when one engages in the service of the Lord, he realizes the highest perfection of life. A faithful servant can fulfill any desire by the grace of the Master. And one who engages in the transcendental loving service of the Lord has nothing to aspire for separately. All his desires are fulfilled simply by engaging constantly in the Lord's loving service. Lord Shiva shows us that any devotee can be successful simply by chanting the prayers which he has recited.
Vandeham Shri Guru Shri Jata Padakamalam Shri Guru Vaishnavamscha Shri Rupam Sangrajatam Sahagana Raghunatam Vitam Tam Saji Sadaitam Savadutam Vrijana Saitam Krishna Chaitanya Deva Shri Radha Krishna Padan Sahagana Lalita Shri Vishakonvitamscha.
So, this is a pretty attractive benediction, isn't it? That one who engages in the transcendental loving service of a Lord has all of his desires fulfilled. This is what everybody's looking for all over the world. Everybody wants to have all of their desires fulfilled. So this is the way to do it. Become a pure devotee of Krishna and all of your desires will be fulfilled. Do any of you have unfulfilled desires at the present moment? Is an honest man shaking his head? Yeah. So all you have to do is engage in pure devotional service. Then all your desires will be fulfilled. Of course, it takes some time. And it takes some purification of your desires also. It's not that Krishna is going to fulfill your material desires. Because those are not conducive for your spiritual perfection. The idea is, as you continue to engage in devotional service, your material desires will gradually transform into spiritual desires. In the beginning, we have 100% material desires and no spiritual desires. And then we get a little bit of spiritual desire, maybe 1%, and then 99% material desire. So gradually the material desires go down and the spiritual desires go up. And when you finally reach the point where you have absolutely no material desires, and all your desires are spiritual, that is when Krishna is very, very happy to fulfill all of your desires. So we have to go through that transition from being full of material desires and become full of spiritual desires. There are many, many spiritual desires. If you'd like to be a successful preacher who can attract many people to Krishna consciousness, that is not a material desire, that's a spiritual desire. If you want to help many, many people to go back to home, back to Godhead. So one can aspire to become a powerful preacher. Not for the sake of name and fame, but for the sake of helping more and more people to become happy. So in this way, this is an example of spiritual desire. Just like there is one devotee. He was a very poor man. He had no means to serve the deity. But yet in his heart, he had this desire to offer all varieties of opulence to the deity. So he would do it in meditation. He was sitting on the bank of the sacred Godavari River in South India. And he would meditate on offering different things, you see. He would make some different preparations, some halava, some puris, some rice, some sabji, some pakoras. He would meditate on some sweet rice. He would meditate in all the details of how he would procure the items, how he would get the cooking arrangement just nice, and have the pots completely spotless. He did a very, very detailed meditation. So when, and he would do this every day with great relish. He was in total bliss, just meditating and making this huge love feast for the Lord every day. The whole thing was in his mind. So one day he was making the sweet rice. Just like last night, we had some very nice sweet rice for Govardhan. Now, sweet rice, it can be taken hot, but it's not so tasty. But if it's taken cool, then, oh, it's very, very... I took a whole bowl of it, actually. It was so good. Very tasty when it's cool, you see. So he was meditating on, he cooked it. Now he had to make sure it was cool so he could offer it when it was really good, you know, for the Lord. So he stuck his hand in his finger, you know, he stuck his finger in. But he stuck it in too early, you see. The sweet rice was still hot. In fact, it was boiling hot. It was so hot, he burned his finger. I mean, he really burned it. It was so, his meditation was so intense that his finger actually became burned. And he woke up from his meditation and his finger was burned. So, Lord Narayan in Vaikuntha, he was observing this Brahman. He was actually smiling and laughing to see this Brahman. And the goddess of fortune is wondering, what are you smiling and laughing about? They could not understand. But Lord Narayan, he was so pleased. He sent a Vaikuntha airplane, you see. Not one of these 747s that require, you know, petroleum fuel, no. He sent a Vaikuntha airplane from the spiritual world right there to the bank of the river in India. To pick that Brahman up and take him back to Godhead immediately, you see. So even if you have no means to serve the Lord according to your desires, just by contemplating that what you would like to do for Krishna, Krishna can become so pleased with you that he will send a Vaikuntha airplane to pick you up immediately and take you back to Godhead. You don't have to wait for old age, disease and death to take you away. You can become so absorbed in devotional service that Krishna will come immediately and take you back to Godhead. So we should try to follow in the footsteps of this Brahman.
Taigi, mes turime pulti į kojas šitą Brahmaną.
And fully absorb ourselves in pure devotional service.
Ir visiškai panirti į tirasą modernystę.
And then when we are in this mood of pure bhakti, no desire of ours will be unfulfilled. Krishna is unconquerable. He is called Ajita. He is unconquerable. But he becomes Jita, or conquered by his devotees' love. So everyone should wake up, not sleep. If we become diligent or focused on awakening the pure bhakti within our hearts, then Krishna will become under our control. And when Krishna is under your control, then all of your desires are fulfilled. You see. Whatever you want, Krishna will give it to you immediately. Just like in the spiritual world, they have trees called kalpa vriksha. Those trees will give it whatever you want. If you want a mango, you get mango. If you want pomegranate, you get pomegranate. If you want a banana, you get a banana. If you want papaya, you get papaya. You see? If you want star fruit or you want breadfruit, whatever you want, guava, they will give you. So instead of struggling to fulfill our desires in this material world, we should simply endeavor to achieve pure devotional service. And then all of your desires will become fulfilled automatically. Just imagine how happy you would be if every time you had a desire, you got it fulfilled. You see, in this world, we're frustrated because we have so many different desires, and sometimes they get fulfilled and sometimes they don't. So we get angry when they're not fulfilled. And we get frustrated, you see. But just imagine if you could live in a place where every desire you had was fulfilled immediately. That's what's described here. By taking to devotional service, then all of your, by coming to pure devotional service, and all your desires are fulfilled. So doesn't it make sense to take the pure devotional service? Wouldn't it be just completely stupid to do anything besides pure devotional service? Even Jnana Mishra Bhakti or Karma Mishra Bhakti, they're foolish. Because you don't get all your desires fulfilled in those types of bhakti. But if we come to pure bhakti, ahaitakiya pritiyata yayatma supersedati, then all of our desires are immediately fulfilled. So we were reading yesterday that the way to get that pure bhakti is you have to get the dust from the feet of the pure devotee. And that dust is also manifest in the form of the instructions received from the pure devotee. So when we have the opportunity to actually get dust from the feet or to get instructions from the pure devotee, We should take that as the greatest blessing.
Ir turime priimti tai kaip didžiausią galimybę palaiminimą.
Because by taking advantage of that blessing,
todėl, kad pasinaudojant šiuo palaiminimu,
then we can achieve that position of pure bhakti,
galima pasiekti tyros bhakti padėtį,
where all of our desires are immediately fulfilled.
Kur visi mūsų troškimai yra savaime, tuoj pat išpildomi.
What could be more desirable than that?
Ko galima trokšti labiau nei tai?
Can you give me anything, Haribol Ananda Prabhu, which is more desirable than that?
Ar galite, Haribol Ananda Prabhu, pasiūlyti kažką geriau nei kažkas pasakiau dabar?
Anything which is more desirable than pure bhakti. Yeah, yeah, there's nothing more desirable. So who is that fool who would pursue anything else besides pure devotional service? The whole world is full of such fools, you see. They're pursuing other things, other, you know, besides, you know, they're going after things other than pure devotional service. A few years ago, there was a big festival. Actually, they have it every year in North America. It's called the Festival of Inspiration. So I contacted the organizers of the festival. I said, I would like to give a seminar in pure devotional service. They said, no, we don't want it. They said, but you can do one on internet preaching. Because I'm known in ISKCON as the internet guru. Because I'm cultivating so many thousands of people on the internet every day, you see. So, actually, karmis also know how to use the internet. It's, you know, it's a material skill. It's not that important. Pure devotional service is important. The internet is not so important. So I was rather shocked that devotees didn't want me to do a seminar in pure devotional service. I was very disappointed, actually. They didn't want. But I thought, let me use my intelligence to convince them to let me do it. So I said, I'll tell you what, I'll make a deal with you. If you let me do one on pure devotional service, I'll also do one on the internet. If you let me do one on pure devotional service, then I'll do a second one on the internet preaching. So even though they were against pure devotional service seminar, they decided to go ahead and allow it because I was going to do one on internet. And I gave the two seminars, one right after the other, the same afternoon. Which one do you think was more popular, internet or pure devotional service? We can have a vote here. Who would think that pure devotional service was more popular? Raise your hand. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5. How many people? 6. How many think internet would be more popular? 1, 2. Actually, pure devotional service was more popular. Some devotees were so inspired, they were crying when they were hearing the seminar. They were crying tears of joy hearing the seminar. Because they have these festivals, there's so many seminars, you know, on how to take care of your body, how to do this, how to do that, so many seminars. But what is the essence of Krishna consciousness, movement? What is the one thing unique to the Krishna consciousness movement that makes us different from every other church, religion, or organization in the world? The difference is we have the secret of how one can achieve pure devotional service. That is the essence of our movement. And if we lose that essence, ISKCON is dead. Shishi Garnitai ki jai, Shishi Radhadamadar ki jai. So therefore, we cannot lose this essence. We have to keep that emphasis on pure devotional service. We have to focus our whole lives on achieving pure devotional service. One who is serious to cultivate pure devotional service, he will be very happy to chant japa every day. He will be enlivened to chant at least 16 rounds every day on Japa Mala Beads. He'll be enlivened to rise early in the morning and decorate, to take bath and decorate the body with tilak. He will be enlivened to study Prabhupada's books. He'll be enlivened to serve the deities. He'll be enlivened to clean the temple. He'll be enlivened to preach and distribute books. So we should keep this focus on pure devotional service. This is the goal of my existence in this human form of life. To achieve pure devotional service. If we make this our strong determination, that I must achieve pure devotional service, then Krishna will send us a bona fide spiritual master who will bless us with pure devotional service. So now I can ask if there's any questions. Hari Bol Ananda Prabhu.
May I explain the difference between Nishkama Karma Yoga and Sakama Karma Yoga?
Nishkama Yoga?
Yes.
And
Nishkama Karma Yoga?
Yeah.
Nishkama Karma Yoga.
And Sakama.
There's with desire and without desire. Akama sarvakama va moksha kama udharadi. You can nishkam, akam, same thing.
Nishkam arba akam.
There's sarvakam and there's akam or nishkam.
Sakam arba nishkam akam.
So kam means lusty desire. You want to go to the church, the synagogue, the temple, or the mosque? And you pray to the Lord, give me this, give me that. Give me a Cadillac, a brand new Cadillac. Replete with Michelin tires. Michelin's a brand. Replete with Michelin tires. Give my wife a new silk sari. Give my kids a Harvard education. Give me a house by the sea. Om Jaya Jagadisha Hari. You see, this is approaching the God, approaching Lord to fulfill your material desires. Sarvakam Yoga. So, you may get your material desires fulfilled. But what you won't get, you won't get Krishna. So what is the good of it? Let's see, what's the good of it? Somebody may want to be a big leader in ISKCON, a big guru, have a big post in ISKCON, GBC, sannyasi, or whatever, some big position in ISKCON. We saw there was a big leader here in Europe. He became big, powerful guru in Europe. But he wasn't called at the same time, he'd failed to cultivate pure devotional service. So where is he now? He's gone. So the most important thing is to cultivate pure devotional service. And whatever other desire you have, that should be for the pleasure of Krishna. Not for your own sense gratification. And then you're safe. Questions more? Yeah.
What about Dhruva Maharaj? His situation?
Yeah, that can happen. If you perform sufficient austerities to fulfill your material desires, such as Dhruva Maharaj, you retire to the forest, you stop eating, you stop drinking water, and you even stop breathing. That's how determined he was to fulfill his material desire. What great austerities he did. Then you can get your material desire fulfilled, and you can get Krishna's darshan also. But are you powerful enough in austerity to follow the pathway of Dhruva? Can you retire to the Lithuanian forest with no place of shelter, with no food, with no heat, and even give up drinking water and breathing? Can you do that?
For a short time.
How long?
Short.
10 minutes? You see, Dhruva, it's not easy to imitate Dhruva's austerities to fulfill your material desires. Actually, it's impossible for us to do them. None of us have that power. We would die. Actually, we had one boy in Austin who used to come to our programs there. He tried to imitate Dhruva. He had just graduated from the university. So now he wanted to achieve mystic powers.
He has graduated?
He graduated from the university. And after graduating, he wanted to achieve mystic powers. So he went to a place called New Mexico and went way, way up in the mountain. In the cold weather. And he took off all his clothes. He was completely naked. And he sat there to meditate. And he died. It killed him. They found his body there, dead. And his brother came and told us what had happened. He went to the mountains to meditate and he died from exposure to the cold. So don't think you can imitate Dhruva and fulfill all your material desires in that way and get Krishna at the same time. better you follow the footsteps chalked out by Srila Prabhupada. Take the pure devotional service. And then all your desires will become pure and all your desires will be fulfilled. And you can have nice prasadam. You can live in a heated building during the winter. You can keep your car. So you can serve the Vaishnavas and Guru very nicely. And you will get all your desires fulfilled. You follow the Prabhupada Marg, not the Dhruva Marg. Dhruva Marg you cannot imitate. But the Prabhupada Marg, that you can follow. That I am showing you, the Prabhupada Marg. So that is the way. Not to artificially imitate Dhruva. Okay? All right. Any questions? Any of the ladies have questions? Okay. Any other questions? Everyone satisfied now? No? All right.
Srila Gurudev, could you explain how, in a subtle way, the desire for profit, adoration, and distinction manifests practically?
Yes, one does devotional service with great enthusiasm, but then you want to be recognized for being a great devotee, you see. That is a manifestation of material desire. Prabhupada explains that one of the 26 qualities of the Vaishnava is silent. Silent has different meanings. One meaning is you only talk about Krishna, you don't talk any nonsense. Another meaning is, Prabhupada says, silent worker. You don't require to have to be glorified for your service. You're not doing your service for the sake of being glorified. You're just doing your service so that Krishna will be glorified. So that your spiritual master be glorified. So that's an example. But then on the other hand, Prabhupada also said this. He said, you're always saying all glories to Srila Prabhupada. But why don't you become glorious? So actually it is said that the tree is judged by the fruit it produces. So if the disciples become glorious by achieving pure devotional service, then that automatically glorifies, they become glorified and the spiritual master becomes glorified. So we should not seek to be glorified, but that glorification will automatically come if you achieve the pure devotional service. So it's not wrong to be glorified. But if you take the credit when you're glorified, that is wrong. Srila Prabhupada is so much glorified, you see. But he never even one time took the credit for what he'd accomplished. He said, whatever I have done, it is all by the mercy of my Guru Maharaj. It is all by his blessings. This is confirmed by Bhaktivinoda Thakura. He says, Gurudev, your mercy is all that I'm made of. But Prabhupada did say this. He said, if there's one thing that I have that I can take credit for, that one thing is that whatever orders I receive from my spiritual master, I carry them out. Besides that, I can take no credit for anything. It's all Guru's mercy. So we should. It is natural that as one advances in Krishna consciousness, one will receive so much respect and glorification from others. It will naturally happen. But if you think that I deserve this, then your spiritual life will be ruined. You have to think, I don't deserve this at all. It's only by the grace of my spiritual master this is coming to me. So whatever praise or glorification I receive, it must all be offered to my spiritual master. In this way, one will not fall prey to the disease known as profit, adoration, and distinction. And one will continue to advance steadily on the pathway to pure devotional service. So I can ask now if there's any other questions. Yes.
Is it the wish or desire to leave the body in the auspicious situation, in the parabolic situation for Krishna consciousness, also material?
Actually, there is a great pure devotee named Maharaj Kulashekar. And he actually prays to leave the body because he prays that now, let me leave the body now while I still have the ability to chant the holy names. He's saying that if I wait until I become very old and diseased, I may not be able to utter the holy name. But now while I have the strength to utter the names, let me die immediately. And Prabhupada was very fond of this prayer. So actually, it is a bona fide prayer. But sometimes we may disagree. Just like Vishnupriya Mataji. She had a brain hemorrhage when we were in Denmark. She was singing their Gavastakam prayers during Mangal Arti. And then she collapsed on the floor right in the middle of the kirtan. And then afterwards, in the ambulance, she was laughing. She said, oh, if I had just died then, that would have been very wonderful, you see. So the devotee may think, yes, if I had died, if I could die now when I'm chanting the names, it's very wonderful. But the other devotees may not agree, you see. They may think, no, just like Sanatana Goswami. He had very, very bad sores all over his body. He was oozing pus from his sores, horrible, disgusting pus. So Lord Chaitanya, he was very, very fond of Sanatana Goswami. Whenever he saw Sanatana, he would embrace him very tightly. And the pus from Sanatana would go all over Lord Chaitanya. It would stain Lord Chaitanya's clothes. It was very muchi. So Sanatana Goswami felt so bad, he thought, I'm just going to kill myself. So Lord Chaitanya heard about this and he chastised him. He said, that body, your body is my property. You have no right to kill it. It is my property. And I have so many things that I want to accomplish using your body. So while on the one hand it's very nice if you can think, let me die immediately while I'm in Krishna consciousness, you should think, well, but maybe my spiritual master or maybe Srila Prabhupada, maybe Krishna has some plans of service that they want to accomplish using this body. So let me leave it fully up to the Lord. My Lord, if you want to kill me immediately, I'm prepared to die at this minute. Or if you want me to live for a long time and to clean the temple room floor and to preach, I'm willing to do that also. A devotee doesn't even care for his own salvation. He just wants to do whatever will give the best pleasure to the Lord right now at this very minute. If I can please the Lord better by dying right now, I'm ready to die right now while I'm sitting on the Vyasa. So. Or if I can please the Lord more by continuing to travel and preach this Krishna consciousness movement all over the world, I'm willing to do that. If you simply leave it up to the Lord completely, whatever you want to do with me, I'm just your puppet. If you're in that mood, you don't have to worry about dying in Krishna consciousness. Because you're already in pure bhakti, and it doesn't matter, you will die, and because you're in pure bhakti, you will always be safe. Any other questions? Sankirtan Dal.
Example, we pray to Krishna to cure some people, devotees, for like Japatika Swami.
Mm-hmm.
But if Krishna has some plans about them, may we change something?
Yeah. Actually, when Prabhupada was on his deathbed, we were praying for Prabhupada also. But Prabhupada taught us how to pray. We had to say, my dear Lord Krishna, if you so desire, please cure Srila
Prabhupada.
So that's the proper way to pray, actually. Because Krishna may have he may have another idea of how he wants to engage the particular devotee. It could be our selfish desire to keep that devotee here with us when Krishna has a plan to use that devotee in a way which is even better than he's engaged right now. That's why Prabhupada said you have to say if you so desire. Because Krishna is the ultimate. We have to leave it ultimately up to him what he wants to do. But at the same time, if for our Krishna consciousness, we need to have that person here. You see. Then we have a right to petition the Lord on our, for the sake of our own Krishna consciousness. And Krishna is not a dull stone. He's a person. And he can be influenced by prayers. Krishna may have a plan to take a devotee out of this world, you see. But if enough devotees are praying with great intensity, then Krishna can change his plan. In other words, Krishna is flexible. If he sees the devotee's love is very, very strong, then he that can change his plan. So while on the one hand we should always say, if you so desire, but at the same time we can try to influence his desire. In a way that we see is favorable for our spiritual life, you see. It's like we're praying that Jayapataka Swami can stay with us, you see. But the proper way is to say, my dear Lord, if you so desire. Because we have to always acknowledge that Krishna, whatever Krishna wants is the best thing. Any other questions? Yes, Hari Bol Ananda.
How to understand that when the devotee asks for Krishna praise for something, but Krishna does not give it, how to understand it?
Oh, that's a very simple thing. If you ask for something and you didn't get it, that means it wasn't good for your Krishna consciousness. Krishna very kindly did not fulfill your request. That means you're not a pure devotee yet. Because a pure devotee, he only asks for things that are beneficial for his Krishna consciousness and for the Krishna consciousness of others. So the pure devotee gets all of his prayers answered. For the impure devotee, Krishna will sometimes not answer his prayers out of kindness. So you want all your desires fulfilled? Become a pure devotee. And they'll all be fulfilled. Questions more?
All right.
Today we emphasized the pure devotional service, but another day you told us about the laboratory of our Krishna consciousness.
The what? Laboratory, yeah.
Yeah, that we do not have it. How to understand this? Is it a contradiction that we emphasize about pure devotion, but at the same time we have not the
No, we have pure devotional service in the lecture and pure devotional service in the lab also. The laboratory of Krishna consciousness, of pure devotee means, pure bhakti means surrender. That's why guru is essential. pure bhakti in practice means you bhajana kriya, you see. You take shelter of the bona fide spiritual master. That's pure bhakti in the lab. If you don't take shelter of a bona fide spiritual master, then you can never achieve pure bhakti. Rupa Goswami lists the topmost items of importance in regarding the path of pure devotional service. The very first and most important items are to take shelter of a bona fide spiritual master, take initiation from a bona fide spiritual master, carry out the instructions given by the spiritual master, inquire from the spiritual master how to advance in pure devotional service. These are the first items given by Rupa Goswami. So if one wants to actually enter to the laboratory of pure devotional service, then you have to take the shelter of a bona fide spiritual master. Otherwise you're simply sitting in the lecture hall with no practical hands-on experience of what pure bhakti really is all about. So we'll stop here. We thank you all very much. Gantaraj Srimad Bhagavatam ki jai, Srila Prabhupada ki jai.
Yeah.